You're tuned in to 104.1 FM Buckets Radio in Gloucester, and it's streaming on the World Wide Web, bucketsradio.com.au. And we have a very special guest on the line. He's former first-class cricketer for Tasmania, and he is the current coach of the Alcohol Think Again Western Fury. And he is the editor of Cricket Life magazine. A very warm welcome to the show, Mark Atkinson.
G'day, Matt. Thanks, mate. Thanks for that great welcome.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show, Mark. And just for those who don't know, you played first-class cricket for Tasmania, but you started playing your cricket in Sydney. What was it like as a young bloke getting into first-class cricket, the big change of moving from Sydney and getting the ball rolling down there?
Yeah, what was it like? Well, it was great, but it was, you know, I was a little bit frustrated. I was in Sydney. I was behind Phil Emery, the New South Wales keeper at the time. And Phil is a fantastic fellow and a really great cricketer, and who actually played a test match for Australia. And it was a time up here when they just tended to change the keepers. Greg Dyer was just controversially out of the team, and I came into the state squad, which was amazing. You know, the players I was involved in as a young man were like the War Brothers, Jeff Lawson, Mike Whitney, Greg Matthews, Peter Taylor, and there's other great cricketers. Greg Dyer was just mentioned, and there are other cricketers there, Trevor Bayliss, who's now coaching England. So New South Wales cricket was extremely strong, and I was the second keeper there. So it was a very exciting time to be working my way into first-class cricket. And it was also frustrating. I remember coming home and as a young man talking to my mum and thinking, am I ever going to do it? Am I ever going to do it? You know, it sort of really took something. And so I remember there was an element of frustration around it. And in the end, I just decided to move down to Tasmania. So I think mum and dad, we drove down to Melbourne. I got on the boat, drove my car over, and you know, and I drove from Devonport down to Hobart.
Yep.
And mum and dad flew back, and then I was in the centre of town. I was with the bloke I lived with, and he's driving me into town, and we pulled the car over, and I said, Dean, could you take me into the middle of town? And he says, you're in it. And you know, just then I quickly realised, you know, the size of the place, and it was very different to Sydney. But, you know, and making that move and having the courage, I suppose, for myself to go to Tas was really a big one for me. I was in the team for a month, and I managed to play down there for 10 years, which was amazing. But very exciting times, because I was just getting into that realm of those great cricketers. But also, I remember, quite a frustrating time.
And so some of the highlights of playing first-class cricket, obviously the chance to play with some great players, first-class cricket in Australia, the premier domestic competition in the world, and in an era when Australian cricket was very strong and dominant. What were some of the highlights for you?
Mate, like every minute was a highlight for me, because it's just what I wanted to do. You know, playing in my unit block at Ryde, you know, with the kids out the back, the Euro of Wine kids out the back, and we'd have games of cricket out there in the back of a block of flats at Ryde. You know, my first game of cricket, I think I hit my first ball for four down at Wheel Park in Woolwich with my grandmother and my mum watching, just thinking how good is this. So, you know, I'm a cricket fan and just a lover of the game. But every minute, and I was recently at a cricket presentation, and, you know, they asked me to name some of the players I played against, and you know, some of the players I got to play against, I'll name a few now, like Imran Khan in my first game.
Wow.
Wazim Akram, Waqar Yunus, Alan Donald, Sean Pollock, Hansi Cronier, Sachin Tendulkar, BVS Laxman, Rahul Dravid, you know, I mean, and, you know, Martin Crowe, you know, Mathai Muralitharan, Arjuna Ranatunga, Jay Surya, you know, Chiminda Bhatt, and that's not it, they're international players.
Yeah.
Graham Gooch, Alex Stewart, you know, so that's like great to the game. And not only the players I was lucky enough to play with and against, you know, the Damian Martin, the Justin Langer, the Adam Gilchrist, the Mike Hussey, Tom Moody, Greg Matthews, Steve Waugh, Mark Waugh, Glenn McGrath, you know, there were just so many.
Yeah.
It was a really strong time for Australian cricket. Every game was a highlight. Just the whole thing was like a dream come true for me. Just amazing experience.
And obviously, with cricket in your veins by the sounds of it. You're obviously very passionate about the game. How has your transition been from retirement at the end of the 90s there, moving forward into what you're doing now? Has that been a smooth transition?
Well, the first thing is, I can't answer that question because I didn't retire. I got dropped, you know. I was a 31-year-old wicketkeeper from New South Wales and Tasmania. And Sean Klingler was an Australian under-19 and Tasmanian local. And Sean went on to have a great career for Tasmania. And he won one or two Sheffield Shields. So, you know, my time was up. And I didn't think it was up. And that's... You know, that's no comment on the decision. It was the right decision. So it was a bit rough. And then I found myself, pretty quickly back in Sydney. I did an MBA. I started studying an MBA by distance.
Yep.
And worked my way through that. So I was doing a bit of that. And I was being drawn into cricket coaching at the same time. And people were asking me to cricket coach. I was kind of stuck between, am I back in New South Wales to try and make it? And Brad Haddon, who's amazing and a great friend of mine and a true amazing player, was the keeper. Dan Smith was second in line. There was Nathan Phillips. And I was hoping to come back and play. I was doing an MBA and doing some coaching. And, I just got to a point. And that was some hard times. Like, after having 10 years of, or probably 14 years of structure being a first-class cricketer, what was next for me? You know, and it's really easy to think, oh, God, what am I going to do, you know? And think your best times are behind you. I did have some hard times, but I was grateful that I went into the study and I eventually, decided, okay, I'm not going to play cricket. I've had my time and I was at 34. I'm going to concentrate on my business. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. And I built a business, Elite Cricket, which is a one-on-one coaching school holiday program and a whole range of other cricket programs where I got the chance to make a difference from beginning players right through elite-level players with the coaching. And that kind of really gave me some stability and structure around my transition, and it was really great.
And did you find it helped going into that coaching business, Elite Cricket, there where you're working with your very beginning level cricketers right up to your next level, kind of on the verge of doing great things, kind of cricketers? Was that a good way to keep the passion for the game alive?
As you can probably tell, passion's not a problem for me. I've had my time again. I just want stuff so much. You're just so passionate about it. I suppose there's times when that enthusiasm or that passion is spilled over into, trying to force an outcome. But, as you can probably hear, Matt, we've got a background knowing each other. Passion's kind of not one of my... unashamedly, I just love the game.
And now moving forward, this year some great opportunities coming your way, and one of those is the head coach role for the Alcohol Think Again Western Fury. How did all that come about?
Basically, I was talking about Elite Cricket, the business. I had that business for 14 years, and I was in the business, and it was amazing. We got to coach beginners and really work with beginners at the fundamental level of the game, including other work that I do at the top end, where I go and work with the state associations or state teams or the first class players. So I've got a great perspective on cricket, and I was 45 years of age, and I was kind of looking at other coaches and. Not in an overly malicious way, but I was kind of thinking to myself, I think I could do that, and I'd really like to be, responsible for the results of a team, rather than just a consultant.
Yep.
But at the same time, Matt, I wasn't doing anything about it. It's time to put your money where your mouth is. So I decided to sell this business. I actually did a personal development course called the Landmark Forum. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it really helped me get that in perspective and take some of the action. So I sold the business and, with the intention of being, which was amazing because I didn't even think I could do that. So I managed to do that and had a heap of interest. And I said, I want to, be in charge, be responsible for results at the team level. So, 9 months, basically jumped out of the plane with the intention of finding the parachute on the way down. That's a lot easier to say when you're in the plane and you think you're going to find it. And it took something. It was probably 8 months where I was looking for jobs and getting the interviews and high-performance coaching and being second or third. And You know, I had an opportunity to work with Justin, and there's a lot of amazing cricket coaches, but Justin Langer is just a guy that, you know, I admired him so much. He's a brilliant player, brilliant person, and just really admire his values and what he goes into coaching. And, you know, and I really had my eye on Western Australia. And 9 months later, when the opportunity came up to work with, you know, the Western Fury and the Women's BBL, you know, I went for that job, and, you know, it's a big move. I'm moving from Sydney to go to Western Australia, and I had my moments where I said yes, but I was, what have I done, you know, because it's a really big change, but just totally thrilled with the move and really excited at the opportunity to, you know, to be head coach of that team at a time when women, there's money coming into women's cricket, there's contracts, there's the women's BBL, and there's a whole lot more coaching and opportunity and resource behind it, and for what I'm up to, the environment of the West Australian Cricket Association, and, you know, like I was at a Cricket Australia coaching conference the other day. I'm at a table with Jeff Marsh to my right, Justin Langer to my left, Rick Charles lift over my shoulder, and we're talking coaching. And, you know, just to be in that conversation is amazing. So really, really thrilled with the opportunity to be involved in the women's game at this time, to be involved in Western Australian Cricket Association, and to see what it takes to be a head coach at that level.
Yeah, and exciting times for women's cricket. Obviously, the Women's Ashes coming up this year. Women's cricket is really coming onto the radar in the more mainstream way, and the WBBL is going to be something that hopefully elevates it to another level. And outside of that, you're involved now with a cricket magazine. Can you tell us about Cricket Life and what's going on there? Looks like you've got some pretty big names on the columnist panel there, mate.
Yeah, we have. So, like, when I wasn't working, there was a great friend of mine and a great person, a guy called David Holston, who's you know, just an amazing guy, and he's my business partner. And, you know, I went to see David, and, you know, we got our heads together and worked on the concept of the magazine. And the intention is really, like, it's Cricket Life magazine, the player's voice.
Yep.
The intention is to give the players in the game a voice, really have the players be heard, and also create a channel where cricket stuff, cricket products, cricket interest, I've got a real channel to get their message out there.
Yep.
And pardon me, sorry, mate. I'm talking too much, I'm coughing, mate. But, so basically, you know, we just, and, you know, cricket's been good to me, Matt, just some of the people that I've got to meet, as I was talking about, not only play against, but people that I get to have in my life and be friends, and not only that, just, you know, including yourself. We've known each other for a while now.
Yep.
But just, you know, the people, they're right across the board. So I really wanted to give the players a voice in the game. Because, like, I find that writing really interesting, you know. And the first guy I thought of was Ed Cowan, who's a great writer. And guys like Chris Hartley and Trent Copeland, who are in the media. So we approached them.
Yeah.
They have been great. So they've written, Chris Hartley, the Queensland, he's written a great piece on AB de Villiers. Trent Copeland's written a great article on Graham Onions. We've got Justin Langer, Brad Haddon interview, Jordan Phil, Peter Neville.
Wow.
Up on Trevor Bayliss, and it's just a real unique insight into the game. So, you know, and just sort of, like, we come out on the 23rd of June, our first issue is printed online.
Okay.
And, you know, just the response, you know, there's a really good feeling about it for David and I, and there's been a lot of interest. So, you know, we're really excited about that.
That sounds fantastic. Looking forward to the 23rd of June to get a copy and have a read of that one. Sounds like it's going well. How often is that going to be coming out?
Well, it's a quarterly magazine at this stage, mate. And we're just finding the response from the players. And you know, I launched it on Facebook today. We had just a sort of an introductory launch on Facebook. And had people, Mark, can we have comments? Mark, I mean, can I write this article? I said, sure, send it to me. You know, we're just, you know, like, you know, and I suppose it just doesn't have to be a voice to the elite players. We really want to, you know, give the fans of the game a voice. So I don't think we'll have a problem with content. So we might go more regularly, but
yep,
we kind of want to make it like David's my partner's been really successful and hugely successful in other businesses. And the magazine's a really high quality magazine. We kind of want it to be one where you almost feel guilty, you know, if you throw this thing out. So we want, you know, the people will reread it again. It's a great article, it's some inspiration, it's some insights into the game you don't get in other spaces.
Yep.
So, you know, it's quarterly at this stage, and, you know, and just we haven't so much content. We might go more regularly, but I suppose you just got to, you know, we've got to get off the mark, as it were.
Yeah.
Issue out, you know.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, well, it's exciting times in your life by the sounds of things. I'd like to wish you all the best for the move to Perth and all the things happening. And maybe we could have a chat sometime through the summer and track your progress with how things are going with the Western Fury.
Okay, that's of
use,
though, but I'd love to stay in touch.
Well,
I think we're back in here in Sydney for the WBBL.
Yep.
So, mate, you'll have to come out to the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so great. Thanks, man. Thanks for the opportunity to come out. Great to connect with you.
Yep, no worries. There is Mark Atkinson, ladies and gentlemen, and we will now get back into some music.